Hey, Tim.
Yeah, Ted.
Let me tell you about RuneScape. All right, so RuneScape, the number one free to, I guess, I think, I don't know. I guess the number one free to play MMO of its time, at least. I think they used to advertise that, right?
Yeah, definitely. That
Or
was on
like,
their site.
yeah, like the biggest MMO on the planet or some shit they bragged about. RuneScape has been around since 2001, something like that, a little bit earlier than that.
Yep.
I don't know, Tim, you're the one that did the research
I
on the
didn't do the
history.
research.
This is a fantastic start. RuneScape is like, if you don't know, RuneScape is a browser-based free-to-play MMORPG. Or originally browser-based. It's gone through a bunch of updates, but RuneScape was at its peak in like 2005 to 2007.
Yeah,
That's when
right.
it had the most players, more like had like millions of people on every day. It's all knights and fantasy, and the combat's incredibly engaging. You right click on an enemy and then
Or
eat
you
your
just
swordfish.
left clicked on them. I
That's
mean,
true. I always examined every single thing possible.
that's fine. It had some good descriptions on stuff. But anyway, if you want to actually describe what RuneScape is, so it started off as a project, just some guys like, hey, let's make a game, and then they made a game, and it was pretty small. It wasn't like the massive world that it has today. It was just like a tiny one with a couple of towns in it, and it did slowly grow over time. The free-to-play system, the reason that I even got into the game is because the free-to-play system is really great. There's all the core skills. You've got stuff like you got your mining and smelting and your fishing and cooking, and then all of the combat is all free-to-play, plus like a third of the map. And that's just go have fun, do whatever. Here's, a couple dozen quests. We're not going to pester you about becoming a member unless you try to escape.
Unless you try to escape the containment zone or try to have too much fun.
Exactly.
You see that gnome hang glider? You're gonna have to be a member to talk to her, my friend.
Yeah, but most of everything else, like they don't bug you. There's no like timed trial. You can hit level 99, which is the max in all those skills. And there was enough in the free-to-play world that it kept a lot of people engaged for a long time, which is why it was a really popular free-to-play game, unlike, a lot of other ones where you have to buy a subscription to have any fun.
Yeah, RuneScape was definitely more popular with younger people. That's for sure. There weren't too many people over the age of, like, I'm gonna say, like, 16 who are playing it. At least in my, I mean, RuneScape's kind of weird in that the only people playing it, even right now, is younger kids or, like, fathers. And like it's kind of like Elite Dangerous, and that it's like there's a lot of old people playing that are like in their like late 30s. They're like, I'll just play this game. This is my one game. You know what I'm talking about? Didn't you have someone when you were playing Elite Dangerous that was like that? Or maybe that was my brother Zach who was complaining about it. He said that there was a bunch of people who kept like protesting against PvP, and he kept calling them he called them dad gamers or something like that.
I mean, Elite Dangerous barely has any PvP and is also not related to RuneScape. I think I definitely picked up RuneScape back in like grade school, played it through middle school. I think I played it in high school a bit, but that's really when it started to die.
I played RuneScape. I believe it was someone in grade school told me about it. It might have been you. It was
Might
either
have
you or
been.
Lucas.
Yeah, might have been. I know we learned about it at the library.
Yeah. Now, we went to the Reddick Library, and they had really nice computers. And we go over there, we'd play RuneScape because I'm like, oh yeah, that was it. It was either you or it was I noticed kids at the library. Like, huh, what is that game with all the knights? And
Yeah.
it's like, hey, this is RuneScape, and it's free to play. And yeah, that's where I remember me and my little brother Timmy, we would go to the library at like 9 a.m. when it opened, and we would play RuneScape until 6 p.m. when it closed.
That's an appropriate amount of RuneScape, my friend.
We would do that five like every day during the summer that the thing was open. We got to know like the exact hours. The library card number was like a 24-digit number because you'd have to enter it to log in. Because I just tap that shit out, memorize it, don't give a fuck. That was the same library that I thought I was the coolest person on the planet because I read a Naruto manga in like the couch there.
Wow.
I thought I was cool as shit. On the flip side of that, I remember going to the adult computers and seeing a dude who was like 21 playing RuneScape and internally thinking, wow, what a fucking loser. Quote from man who literally played RuneScape for 6 hours today.
Wow, what a loser.
I mean, what's he doing with his life? He didn't even have a podcast at that point, I'm pretty sure.
You don't know that.
I guess not.
He might have been the original, let me tell you about.
And that guy's name? Griffin McElroy. But yeah, RuneScape, it's fun. There's something about it. It's unique among MMOs. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way that they handle the player character, for sure. The player character is like... I'm going to put the words... It's basically like if Alex was a character in a video game. He's just an asshole for no reason. Like, everything you have, you can immediately just be like, nah, fuck off. Or you can just be a smug piece of shit and immediately flip on what you were doing.
Yeah, I think you called him a sarcastic asshole.
Yeah. He's just a sarcastic piece of shit. Yeah. Like, I was going through some of the quests in, like, the modern RuneScape, and there was one where you had to infiltrate a Black Knight fortress, I think it was, Tim?
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, we gotta sneak in here. You know, don't let them detect you. Okay. I'm your prisoner.
So you walk up to the door, and he goes, hey, you know, why are you bringing this knight in here? Why is he unarmed? Like, why is it just the two of us? And the character can respond, Sarah Diamond only sent the two of us, and Sarah Diamond is a good guy, God.
That's right, yeah, that's right.
Your enemy only sent the two of us in. I'm sneaky.
Or Captain Dulcet, what are you doing here? Who? It just immediately...
Captain who?
It's great. Because your character's like, I don't give a fuck, just start killing people.
You can be a blundering idiot. You can be very forthcoming that, hey, I'm trying to sneak into your castle. Please let me in. Or you can just be like, hey, you think I can't handle this fucking prisoner? What are you, an idiot? Get out of my way. Yeah. And they go, oh, my bad. And they move because you're a Black Knight. You're an asshole.
This is great. It was just goofy shit like that.
It was a lot of, like, it was somewhat serious. Like, the tone overall of the game, it was kind of serious. You know, the starting quest, like, oh, hey, here's how to shear a sheep, tutorial quest. You know, oh, hey, go bake a cake for the Lumbridge cook. You know, it's just simple stuff like that. And it got a little wacky. There's, like, ham, which is humans against monsters. And, like, there are okay monsters, I guess. There's specifically one group of monsters that was created specifically for the quest to show that not all monsters are bad. All of the monsters, like, you kill them, but, like, these guys are okay, so, like, we gotta defend them. And it was ham.
Because I remember seeing those. People would go, because I was always a free player, except for 1 month I did, like, those stupid survey websites where it's like, hey, put in a phone number and, like, fill out these dumb surveys and you'll get like, prize rebel points. And then you can spend those to get Wii point cards and RuneScape memberships. And I did those for, like, it was, like, 6 hours of work. And I managed to get, like, a 2-month RuneScape subscription. And that was the only time I was ever a member, and I spent that entire time mining coal.
You gotta be efficient.
That's XP waste if you're not mining coal. If you're ever not mining coal, you're playing RuneScape incorrectly. Because coal is used for everything. It's used for steel. It's used for other stuff. I don't remember, but I know that it's super useful. So RuneScape, like you said, there's a bunch of skills. There's fishing, fire making, attack, and strength. I'm still confused as to why there's attack and strength.
Well, attack is your accuracy, and then strength is your damage. So when you're in combat, there's a whole thing, and it's really boring, but I guess we can go into it. You can be accurate, defensive, you could use strength, or you can be balanced on all of them. Most weapons have all four options, and it just gives you, like, a small bonus, and that's also what you get experience in.
Okay, and then the combat of RuneScape really is, at least traditionally, we're talking about RuneScape back during the
it'd be old school RuneScape right now.
Yeah, and it was just stand still, and we check. You hit for 0000000, and then you hit, like, a 13, and you're like, holy fuck.
You must not have ever used attack if you were hitting a bunch of zeros like that. That's not supposed to happen.
What I mean is, like,
this guy's garbage at RuneScape.
I'm not bad at RuneScape, Tim, okay? I'm professional.
But anyway, the combat was more of preparing. So, like, if it was a regular fight, you walk in there and you kill the guy. But if it was a bigger fight, like a boss fight for one of the quests, or, you know, you're going out specifically to kill 200 dragons, well, you set up beforehand. You get this amount of food, this amount of prayer potions. You have armor that's good against dragons. And so the combat was more in the preparation than it was in the execution, which is, just basically RNG back and forth.
Yeah, and you just hit someone back and forth. You eat your lobbies. Your lobbies and your swords. Until you're full on health, and then you just keep going and going and going. Maybe use your prayer. But, yeah, combat in RuneScape, never that exciting. What I really liked about RuneScape was, like, I liked the idea of cooking stuff. And so how the skills kind of interacted, like, you know, I upgraded my cooking a lot because I went and I was like, oh, okay, this was kind of fun, that cook's quest. I'm going to be a chef guy because the guild, because there was different guilds for each quest or each skill. And, like, I think the majority of them were in the free-to-play area.
I think you could access almost all the free-to-play ones. I don't remember for sure.
Yeah, there's, like
all the skills.
Yeah, there's a few that are, like, in the member areas, but a lot of them were in there, and they'd be like, hey, you can't come in here. And it's like, well, what do I have to do to get in here? Oh, you got to have, like, level 45 cooking. And I'm like, oh, man, look, they got chocolate in there. I have no idea where the fuck to get chocolate, so I'm going to level up my cooking to get to there. And, like, the first thing, like, you make with cooking, you're like, oh, you know, like, it gives you, like, a tutorial thing, and you make bread. And it's like, oh, that's cool. So you have to go, you get a bunch of wheat, and then you grind all the wheat, and then you get a bunch of, like, water and eggs, and you have to go and get all the individual pieces put together. You get your bread or whatever the fuck. There's no, well, whatever. I don't think there's any egg and bread.
There's not egg and bread. That's cake you're thinking of. Cake has three ingredients. Chocolate cake has four.
Exactly.
It's not worth making at all.
I know. Like, that's another thing about RuneScape. You can just, because the majority of the player base is young, like, people would do a lot of, like, inefficient shit. Like, I would go and make pizzas. Didn't heal that much. It healed less than lobsters and all that shit, but, you know, I thought it was fun to go and collect all my individual ingredients and then put them all together, and then the pizza burns.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually one of the things I really like about RuneScape is the non-combat focus of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and I think the only game I can think of off the top of my head that does stuff like that would be, like, Eve, which is basically adult RuneScape.
Yeah, Eve is like RuneScape, but with more spreadsheets.
Exactly. So it'd be stuff like I can go, you know, cut down a bunch of trees. I can go log the whole, like, the whole coastline of willows and get all that together and sell it to someone who's going to, like, either burn it because it's a fire making skill, or, you know, turn it into bows or something to sell to other people to string. And it's just a whole big line of people trying to improve skills and also make money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's entirely removed from combat. There's no fighting at all involved in that, with the exception of, like, random events, which is a great segue into bots.
Yes. So RuneScape has a lot of grinding. That's, like, that's pretty much the thing. You go, you're cutting your willows outside of Draenor Village, wood cutting levels, everyone gives them a cacophony of nice follows. And then that's what you do. And then you made friends like, hey, I'm chopping wood, you know, just whatever. You're just doing your thing. You run into the bank, you're depositing your willows, you're doing all that dumb shit. And then so people started making bots. And our friend Lucas and I made bots in, like, high school because, like, oh, man, it's been a while since we played RuneScape. I'm not going to do this botting program.
I don't want to actually play RuneScape, but I want to play RuneScape.
Exactly. It became a game for us to be like, okay, how much money can we make before we get caught? We never got caught.
I did that once.
But, like, oh, God. Fuck, what was I talking about? I just remembered Lucas's dumb bullshit when we were botting. What was I talking about?
Bots. And basically, like, so that started being a thing. You could, you know, pay someone in China real world money, and they'll give you, you know, a ridiculous amount of gold because they have several hundred accounts, like picking up chocolate somewhere or, like, cutting willows. And they just do that all day on, you know, a bunch of different worlds. So they just sell all that to someone. Or, like, a general store, have all that money, sell it for real life money. And Jake is like, no, that's not okay. Let's shut that shit down. And so that began their long crusade to end bots, which, in a lot of people's opinions, eventually ended the game itself. It's no longer worth playing because of these updates.
See, now there was one thing that they did to stop bots that I thought was really fun. Because RuneScape does this a lot, at least from what I've seen, where there will be a problem with the game, and they will address it, like, kind of in-game. For bots, what would happen is that people would set up these auto-clickers that would go and just mine. They would mine, you know, all this stuff and just, or, like, chop trees or fish in these one spots, and that's all they would do. And so they were like, alright, how can we stop this? Oh, I know. All right, we're going to have random events happen to these people. And I loved these.
It's something like you're fishing and a river troll spawns next to you and attacks you. It's level like 150, which is 100 and something levels higher than you. You just walk away and he despawns, but you have to react to it. You have to walk away. Or, you know, you can just go fishing and in full, like, the best armor you can afford. And when he shows up, you can murder him.
And then you get a ton of XP and he drops some really good stuff. Really? And then there's also, like, the ones that would show up were, like, a lady would be like, hey, like, sandwich lady would spawn. And then you would talk to her and she would give you, like, oh, here's a sandwich that heals a lot of health. It's like, oh, neat. Or I want to say it was the frog prince. He would show up and be like, hey, and then you talk to him. He would, like, show up, like, you would see him on the screen, be like, hey, what's up, player name, or whatever. And then you talk to him, and he teleports you, and you have this whole mini game.
Yeah, and a lot of those, the idea is that if you don't react to the event, like, if the sandwich lady was one of them, you talk to her, you get a sandwich, you don't, like, you'd get teleported off some place you have to, like, escape from or do something to escape.
Sandwich lady, I think, just flat-out murdered your ass.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she just punched you for, like, a fuckload of damage until your guy died or got knocked out. I don't remember. I think it killed him,
I don't think I ever missed it.
Yeah, because I never did, but I've seen people not react to it. Yeah,
I don't remember. I
think that they died. Because another thing, important thing in RuneScape, when you died, your shit dropped on the ground.
Dun, 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 dun.
Like, that shit's just there, and then it becomes a fucking piranha frenzy. It's everyone stomps all over trying to grab all the good shit.
You keep, like, your top three things, right?
That was something they added, I think, a little bit later.
Was it?
I think so. And then they eventually added gravestones, where if you died to not PvP, you had 5 minutes to get back to your body. But I think it was you just dropped all of your shit.
I think.
Or maybe it was because you could get skulled.
No, yeah, it was you kept your top three most valuable things according to, like, general store prices. And then there was a prayer to let you keep one more, I believe.
Okay, yeah, so, yeah. But everything else, just drop that shit on the ground.
So if you see someone died, like, it doesn't matter. You run over there and you start grabbing stuff because you might get some good stuff. You might get his gold. You might get his runes. Runes, you use those in magic. That's a whole big thing we can talk about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like runes. I like the idea of runes a lot. But, like I was saying about the random events, like, they would just happen and then you would get, like, costume pieces if you did them. Or you would go into it and there would be, like, this maze. You go through it, you get to the end, you get a bunch of gold and you get, like, an uncut diamond, which is worth, like, several thousand. Which is worth way more than those not the U-Logs. I think a U-Log is worth more than a diamond.
No, no way.
I don't know. But, like, you would get an item as a reward for doing it. And if you didn't, you would get fucking booted out of there.
Yeah, like the one he was talking about with the frog. You had, like, the whole frog print or princess outfit. You had, you know, there were several different outfits or emotes and stuff. You got, like, a graveyard one where, like, a zombie tries to get you, I think. Or maybe it was a dance. I don't remember.
Yeah, like a hand jumps out and it tries to grab
you.
Yeah,
they kind of phased out the things show up and kill you and you have to run away for, like, the games and events and fun stuff like that, which I think they did eventually get rid of.
Yeah, because when Lucas and I were botting, the bots knew how to solve the random events.
Yeah.
So we would be botting and then also get our uncut diamonds and then resume botting. It was pretty great.
I mean, define great.
Really funny.
Okay.
But there was, like, the RuneScape had a freeform economy. I think that might be the word I'm looking for.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a player-driven economy. So there's stuff like a general store, which would sell, you know, basic stuff. Pots you can carry, like, flour in, I think it was, or, like, buckets, chisels, hammers, stuff like that, just basic equipment. And that would never really go above a certain amount, except in certain circumstances. If you say way off in Sears Village, which is it's a quiet town, and there's not really a general store there, you need a hammer for, like, a quest, or you forgot one and you're up there skilling. You'll buy it for, you know, 10 times what it's worth. Buying a hammer, 1K. And so you'd pay a lot more than it's worth for the convenience. And so, you know, I'd always have, like, 10 of each of the basic things on me, or at least in my bank, so that if someone was buying it, you just pop it out of the bank, give it to them, you make 1,000 gold easy.
Exactly. I would do stuff like, if I was low on health or I was going to go do a quest, I need a good healing item. I'm like, okay. I can go and buy some, you know, food from this store here or whatever, or I can go, you know, down to Port Sarum and buy some fish or, you know, fish it manually myself. I'm too lazy to do that. Where's a good fishing spot that people use? I'm going to go to Barbarian Village. People will fish there and they just drop shit on the ground. Or, like, you know, I go there, I pick up all this raw tuna, and then, you know, I make like a fire right there. And then everyone starts using that fire and stuff like that. And everyone starts working together to get their XP and shit like that. And like, okay, I went up here, I got all my tuna, I'm good to go. Or say, I had three primary ways to make money. And this really goes into like the, you're just player driven economy shit. One way, there was a quest that was notoriously difficult. What it was is you had to go into this vampire's house, and in the basement you had to pull a bunch of switches in a particular manner. Now, a lot of people would go down there and then they would get confused, but you would be able to see other players in there because everyone just run around the overworld at the same time. And so what I would do is I would go in there, and as people come down, I'd say, hey, I'll help you solve this for 5K gold. They would give me 5,000 gold, and I would tell them the answers because of my other screen. I had Rune HQ open with a guide.
Implying you had two screens when you were a child.
I would alt-tab out. And, like, that was my biggest way to make money, is that I would just sell the answers to puzzles.
Literally, you just look it up on the internet, that'll be 5,000 gold.
Thank you. I rub my hands together. And then the other way would be a taxi service. I'd be like, hey... Because you could follow, there's no, like, you can't open up a map and then click somewhere and walk way over there. There's a mini map that kind of gives you a good amount of distance. But the best way to get somewhere, and this was before, like, they really gave you a bunch of teleports, or teleporting was a very high level skill.
We can get into that when you're done, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, I'd be like, hey, I'm walking over to Varrock, and I'd be in Lumbered Village. I'm like, give me 500 gold. Like, just whenever I was going anywhere, I'd always announce it. Like, hey, I'm going to X place. Give me some gold and you can follow me there. And I mean, like, they could have just followed me.
But they would have had to have paid attention. So there are ways to ditch people if they're not paying attention. Like, catching them on something. Mm-hmm. The character just follows you into a gate.
Or, if they're low enough level and they didn't pay the toll troll, you bring them to the Chaos Demon. And then he aggroes on him and you book it. That guy doesn't. He's dead. You take all of his stuff. It's great, but that's a little bit alluring. We'll get into that. And then the one that a lot of people did was the best way to get food, and one of the better ways to make money as a free-to-play member of the game was there was a tropical island where you could lobsters. So lobsters healed for a good amount. They gave you a bunch of XP. They gave you a lot of health. They were relatively expensive.
Yeah, I think they were the best free-to-play healing item, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think except for swordfish, but I don't even know if you could. I think you could farm. I think you can catch those like at an insanely high cooking level or fishing level, like 70 or something.
But yeah, I want. Can I do this one?
Yeah, sure.
This is my favorite thing. I used to do this all the time. So you go over to Port Sarum and you'd pay, 30 gold to take a trip down to Karumcha, the tropical island. And there'd be a port where you can fish for lobster. It's the only free to play place you can fish for lobsters. You go down there, and I'm getting all these lobsters. Oh, now I have to go back those. Not only do I have to reserve a spot in my inventory for gold, but I also have to walk really far back and forth to get these. Oh, fear not. Here comes Tim. I show up, and I'm like, hey, I'll trade you, a full inventory of lobster. That's our 28. I trade, like, 20 lobster, and I'll give you 15 noted lobster. And what a note was, you go to a bank, give them all 20 lobster. You say, hey, bank, give me that in notes. And they give you, it takes up one inventory slot, and it's as many as you want. So you go back down there with like a couple hundred lobster and you trade people, you give me 4 lobster, I give you 3. They don't have to leave. You just run back and forth. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to fish lobster. I don't think I could at the time get lobster.
Exactly. You didn't have the skill to do it except for your unofficial merchanting skill here. Yeah,
exactly. So you do that and you'd come back down with logs and tinderbox because some people would want to cook them.
Exactly. That's what I would do. I would go down there with a tinderbox. They'd be like, hey guys, I'll make a fire. And someone's like, yeah, sure. And then they give me 500 gold. Just boom. Make a fire. People start cooking their lobsters. I take the cooked lobster. Boom, boom. I get really good lobster because I don't want to run back and sell it. And I got 500 gold. It just works.
Merchanting. And so there's a really neat, just the way the economy works. So, you pay attention long enough, you kind of know how much stuff like rune essence is a popular trade piece. Coal, like you were saying. Cannonballs in members' worlds, because those you use those in a cannon. You just spins in circles and shoots everything around it. It's kind of silly. But you'd use cannonballs or steel, which you'd use to make them. Flax was one of them. It's a lot of just basic materials, and you'd know about how much they were worth. And you go to, say, Seer's Village, right next to the flax fields. It'd be a lot cheaper there because people are doing that and they're selling it in bulk, so you get a much better deal on it than, say, in Varrock, which is pretty far away.
just and they eventually added a thing called a Grand Exchange. But before that, there's essentially two really, really big cities in the free-to-play world. There was Varrock and there was Falador. Falador was in the southwest of the free-to-play area, and then Varrock was in the northeast. And people would just go to the Varrock city center, which is a big open area, and just shout out, you know, selling lobsters, 600 GP each, buying full rune. They would just shout stuff out into the air, then people would go there, find them, manually trade, do shit like that. And so, like, you know, you'd go there, and that's... another thing people would do is that they would offer teleports to these areas, because there was a high-level spell where you could cast it on someone and be like, you know, teleport this person to Falador, teleport them to Varrock, teleport them to Lumbridge, shit like that. You just, boom, throw that stuff at people in exchange for money.
Yeah, so a lot of people say you are a really powerful mage. You could say, either you would say, hey, I'm teleporting people places, or you'd go, hey, I've got the runes, because you could see the rune cost for these. Can you teleport me here? You give me all the runes plus, like, a convenience fee, and they'll just send you across the map.
Yep, I would do that on... I did that a few times on the tropical island where there was just like a mage there, and he like you couldn't really tell they were a mage unless they were wearing a silly hat, which is my favorite hat in the game. It's just a big blue stereotypical wizard hat. I loved it so much.
All the wizards' hats were pointy.
I know, but the blue one looked the funniest. But like you know, you would find items. Well, let's talk about runes real quick. So
in the beginning, when Guthix, who's the god of balance, discovered Gilinor, which is what we call the overworld. He bestowed upon his people, I'm pretty sure it was him, it's been a long time since I've cared about this stuff. but yeah, before some god left, he bestowed upon his followers a bunch of runes, which are just, you know, tablets infused with magical essence of a certain kind. There was, you know, the four elements, and then like mind, I think there's body, which is like protection spells or something. There was like law and death runes, all that kind of stuff. But you gave him runes. Like, hey, here's some runes. They're magic. Go do cool stuff with them. And then much, much later on, several ages later, in fact, after the world is gone, you've gone to hell and back, some wizard discovers this dimension full of essence. And it's actually a part of the fifth age, which is when the player characters are all... That was pre... there was a big event, but I played during the fifth age.
That's when the majority of people would play, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so you do a quest, and he discovers like this whole, you know, dimension full of rune essence, which you'd mine, you'd teleport back. And it was the Varrock East Bank would be the popular place to buy and sell rune essence, just because it was right next to the spot you mined it.
An important thing he said there is that you had to do a quest to unlock this thing. You wouldn't have access to just level one, just go in there and go start doing this questing. You would kind of unravel it from the story of the game. You would have access to all these different areas.
Yeah, you actually discovered it alongside, like, you assisted the wizard in discovering it and went there, and it was a whole big, like, because each player has their own timeline, but they're all, like you said, in the same world. And so, yeah, you discover rune essence and how to mine that, and that was a revolutionary thing. It pissed off a lot of religious people because they believed that their god gave them a certain amount of runes, and that was their god's will, that we only had this amount of runes, and that was part of some quest somewhere, I don't remember, but you take the essence with a talisman to an altar, and that would teleport you to some pocket dimension full of that particular thing's essence.
And with the talismans, what they would happen is that I believe you would find them just sometime. You got some of them as quests, like rewards, like low level quest rewards, like here's an air talisman, or you'd kill a wizard, like an enemy wizard somewhere, and it's like, oh, he had a fire talisman. What you did was, without looking up a guide, you would activate it, and it would say, like, the talisman hums to the southwest. And so you'd have to, like, manually go out and find these altars. And then you use it on there, and it would do all sorts of fun. It was fun to kind of look around and discover where they were naturally by using these talismans and shit. And then you'd go there with all your rune essence. Boop. Now you have 27 earth runes or whatever.
Yeah, it's actually, once you discover the location of the altar, you can imbue the talisman into a tiara, which you could then take one additional rune essence with you. Hoo boy.
Because you just turn it into a little hat.
Yeah, and so that was the whole thing. And you use these runes exclusively for magic. There's this whole economy around them because, you know, there are a lot of mages out there, and runes are expensive and difficult to get normally, but exclusively for magic. And so we're talking about teleporting. You know, you'd have a law rune and a certain combination of other elements, and you'd use all of those to teleport yourself somewhere. You'd go to all the major cities that had teleport nodes. I know there's an ancient system of magic you got by completing a quest, and that had a whole bunch of different teleports with, like, ancient city names and, like, the runes of old, like, old world towns that you could teleport to those places with ancient magic.
Okay. See, like you said, there was different... anyone could be... The player character was a jack of all trades. You can train in any skill you wanted at any time. You would unlock more mage spells by doing fun quests. You would unlock extra prayer things. You could align yourself to one of the three gods or stay unaligned and do all this fun stuff. There was a lot of... It almost feels like a single-player game, kind of, in that you're just unlocking things in this big open world while still having other players running around with you. I think that really is, like, my favorite thing about it, is that it felt like a single-player RPG.
I mean, if you take the grind out of it, it definitely did feel like a solid single-player game. Like, it had, like, a plot to it that you discovered by going through a lot of different quests. There's actually, I was looking at it earlier, a ridiculous amount of lore. There was way too much information on the first four ages of Gilinor that just, I didn't see it. I think most of it doesn't come up until, like, higher level quests when you start getting into, like, the Majorat, I think they're called, which is, I think, like, a semi-immortal race of people. One of them became Zamorak, I think.
Ooh.
I don't know. I didn't actually read about that stuff. That's all stuff that I remember from the game, so it's probably wrong. I'm an adult now. I don't remember anything about RuneScape.
You're not a fucking loser who plays RuneScape.
For 6 hours.
We would play it so long that our eyes would hurt, and then they would have to kick us off the computers because we were there for so long.
Yeah, I know. When I got home from school, I'd call up Lucas and we'd just play RuneScape. But anyway, yeah, so there's a couple other things that I had noted down that I want to talk about, stuff that the game itself had done. Like the combat triangle. There was, you know, there were melee guys with the metal armor and their swords or maces. There were rangers who had, like, leather armor and then bows or crossbows, and then mages who shot magic at people in their silly wizard robes.
Mm-hmm.
And so melee fighters would be really good against ranged guys, because what's he going to do, run away? And he's got leather armor on, so you hack right there. It doesn't offer very much melee protection. Plus, you know, melee stuff had much better defense against ranged attacks, with some exceptions, but really they didn't offset the fact that you're wearing plate armor. And then archers had a pretty huge advantage against wizards, because it's leather, and then you get, like, dragon's leather, which is magic, and that's really good at resisting magic, which also means you can't kill a dragon with magic very easily. Side note there. But as an archer, you'd have pretty much the same range as a wizard. He wouldn't be able to outrange you, which is his big advantage against melee characters, that wizards can freeze you in place and then kill you. And so that's why they were good at killing, you know, melee characters. And you could mix the armor up a bit. You wouldn't get the same advantages you would. But you could say, if you knew you're going to be killing a mage or, like, an NPC that was a mage and you're really good at melee, you just put on leather armor.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the advantage of wearing leather armor, which makes it hard to hit you with spells. And you've got your melee weapon, which you're really good with.
Yeah. And it was... I think I just kind of guessed at the combat triangle, because, like, I never really looked into it. I mean, I never understood how it worked, but, like, I noticed that when I had my rune skimmy on, and, like, I was wearing, because I always just wore just armor. I always wore as much armor as possible, because the way that it was kind of set up was, when you first start, you can only wear armor. I think it was tied to your defense level.
Yeah, melee armor was tied to your defense level, and then range and magic armor were tied to those, as well as defense, I believe.
Yeah, I believe you had to have X defense and X archery or whatever to have dragon armor and shit. But you would start off, like, level one, you could wear copper, and then you can wear iron, and then you can wear steel and black.
Copper armor.
Or whatever.
It's bronze, you nerd.
You're right, I'm a fake RuneScape fan. But, and, like, there was, like, 8 different stages of armor. And it really, like, after you hit rune at, like, 40, like, it don't fucking matter anymore. Like, you're not going to use any of this other shit. But it was, like, there to just give you, like, a sense of progression while you're grinding up your fucking smithing skill and shit. We kind of split the research here, and I went more into my favorite parts of RuneScape, which was scamming little kids and being scammed by little kids. but Tim went into the more actually serious, like...
I really didn't.
Like, he's the guy that if I had to bring this up to my professor for my doctorate in RuneScape, Tim would probably get a pass over me because I just wanted to talk about Zamorak wine.
Yeah, and I've got stuff like... shortcuts. That's a point I wanted to bring
up. That's right. So, shortcuts were fun.
Shortcuts, they were fun, but they were also just an ingenious design. Like, an ingenious, like, thing to put in the game. So, you're playing RuneScape. You're grinding. The main resource you're using here is time. You're exchanging your time for these things. And so, you complete a quest that lets you teleport using ancient trees. You're saving time. That quest just gave you time. And there was a whole network of stuff. So, let's say you're in Lumbridge, and you wanted to go to, I don't know what the place Lumbridge connects to, Varrock, say, and then you use the tree there to go over to the Gnome Stronghold. So you chop down a tree, turn it into a canoe, you sail up the river to Varrock, you take a short jog over to the tree, teleport over there, and you can take the glider there to a couple different spots. And it was a whole network of transportation that you could unlock because they all unlocked as you did quests.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a huge network, and you'd over time I'd memorized it, and you get pretty good at, you know, just zipping around the map, which is a lot better than walking.
And a lot more fun than just teleport, go here.
Yeah, teleporting was really cool, but it was only mages could do that, and I wasn't a mage. So
it was very expensive to be a mage as well, because you either had to spend a lot of time making your rune essence or a lot of cash to just be like, yeah, I'll buy 6K law runes for fucking 180,000. Yoink.
You don't see a lot of poor mages. Also, 600 law runes would be 600,000 for the majority of the time that I played the game.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
That's why I was never a mage. That's why I had a rune skimmy.
Yeah.
Rune skimmy and Addy armor.
Please, Dad. I'm embarrassed to be around you. All right. Anyway, so I had that kind of stuff. I also had do you want to get more into the updates and how they ruin the game now, or do you want to do that later?
Let's go ahead and let's bounce into some of my topics here before we get we're still in old school style RuneScape here. Let's talk about scamming.
Let's do it.
So because RuneScape was mostly dumb kids, and it had a working economy, that's a fun little mixture there. There was your basic scams, people trying to get your account. Hey, did you know that RuneScape stops you from typing your password? And then they put in like 8 asterisks. See? Look. And then I type in, you know, Super Mario World 1, and it comes up and, oh shit, my account's gone. they got my full copper armor.
Dad.
Let's see. There was, okay. One of the things that I did to kill people and get their shit was outside of Varrock. Part of a quest line was there were some dark wizards that were just outside the city. Like, no one really wanted to deal with them, I guess. They were just there, were almost on the same path.
Mostly minding their own business.
But for the start of, for the majority of the areas for a free-to-play member, it was like 30 was like the highest you saw enemies at. And you would go to, like, because you could go to any one of these areas at any time. They weren't specifically leveled. And there was a bunch of dark wizards, and they were, like, level 9. And after a few minutes, there would be a demon that would spawn that was, like, level 30-something. And so what you would do is you'd say, hey, oh, man, this guy's got some really cool armor on. Hey, why don't you come with me and farm these wizards? And then you go over there and they start farming the wizards. And the way it's set up is that if an enemy is so many levels above you, they will instantly aggro to you. And this was partially just to kind of keep people out of higher level areas and make it more dangerous, and also to stop botting. Because if you don't level any combat skills and you're just mining, your dude's going to stay at the combat level of 3.
Yeah.
And you try to, oh, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to send my bot to this area with a lot of good stuff. Oh, there's scorpions at level 16 there. They'll automatically kill them. You know, and then if you're playing the game like normal, they won't even bother you. But I would lure people to this demon. You know, they'd be fighting, oh, cool, I got some death runes from these guys. Look at that, earth runes. And then a demon spawns, 2-shots them, and I get all that sweet, sweet loot.
See, I wasn't a jerk. I didn't do things like that to people.
Maybe they should have been faster. Maybe they should have brought some lobbies with them. Maybe they shouldn't have been so goddamn poor. And this is also a thing that still happens to members. Because there is a... I want to say it was near Ardug.
I'm not going to pretend like I know how to pronounce that city.
It's a members area. It's very close. It's
the biggest members city,
yeah,
from what I remember.
There's in the free-to-play area on the left side, there is just a big old wall. Just a big old wall. It's got like a gate. And if you try to enter it, you know, it tells you, hey, this is the end of the free-to-play area. You have to be a member to go past here. So a lot of people that become members, that's the first place they go, because it's the most obvious place. And so they go there, and they just redo the scam. You know, some member with his cool abyssal whip and his Barrow's armor and his granite maul. He's like, hey, kid, follow me. And then they bring you to the wizards, and then a level 146 black demon spawns and whoops your ass because you fell for the same thing. A lot of the scams that people would do would be, and you see this in a lot of games as well, just item swapping. You know, someone puts up a thing like, hey, I've got an iron, just low-level stuff like, hey, you want to buy this iron bar for 500 gold, or the steel bar. They'll put up like a steel bar, and then whoop, swap it for an iron one. You don't realize it. Oh no, you lost a bunch of money because you bought a steel bar for 600 gold.
And I mean, that would probably only have an effect if you're buying them in like the thousands.
Exactly. It would be stuff like that. It would just swoop, switch around. That happened with a bunch of stuff. Gold would stack up to a certain amount. It would start saying like 100k, and then people would be like, hey, I'll change that thing. You know, I'll buy your item for 100,000 gold. They'd put up 100,000 gold and then quickly change it to 1,004 so that it was 100K. Now it's 1004. And then, you know, oh, you got scammed, nerd.
I know one thing they did to fix that was change the color of the numbers.
Yep.
So at thousands and the millions, you have different colors for the counts.
Million, I believe the text was green. Thousand, I think it was just like the K was blue or something. There was the most famous one is probably armor trimming.
You can trust me with your Addy.
It's so good. Okay. So a member's quest gave you, so there's free to play armor, which was like adamant armor and it was green, or there was bronze armor and it was just brown armor. And you could do some quests, or black armor. You would do some quests as a member. You'd follow these treasure trails and you'd go all across the map and boom, as your reward, you could get armor that looked like that, but it had like a gold trim on it. And so people would go into free to play server and say, hey, I'm trimming armor. And you know, like, hey, you know, they see you wearing gold trimmed rune armor. They're like, oh, that's awesome. They give you all their rune armor. See you later, nerd. And then you bail.
Yeah. And that preyed on the idea that free to play, like free to play or free to play, whatever, members, people who aren't members. Mm-hmm. Wow. That was a thing. So this preyed on the idea that free-to-play players didn't know what trimmed armor was or where it came from. And so you see a member stroll into your server. He's really cool. He's got, you know, rune armor, which is blue armor with like the, it's like the gold trim or the light blue trim. And it's like, hey, I can do this really cool thing to your armor. Just let me hold on to it for a second. You go, cool, I really want that. This guy's not going to lie to me. For some reason, you're just like, oh yeah, I'll just give you my armor. And he goes, okay, I'm going to log into a member's world now to trim it. And he never comes back.
Yep. And he got you good.
Got you good.
Doubling money was something that people would do, and I loved when people tried this scam. So what they would say is like, hey guys, I figured out a way to double money, you know, give me 50k and I'll give you a bunch back. And I was smart enough to know that this was total bullshit. So I'd go over there and be like, huh, he's doubling money? Okay, pal, how about I give you 10,000 gold to start with? I give him 10,000. He like stands there for a minute, he trades me. He gives me back 20,000. Okay, that's cool. Here, how about I give you 20,000 now? Give him 20,000. He gives me 20,000 back. I'm like, okay, one more time, and then I'll do 150K. And I give him like 30K. He gives me back 60. See you later, nerd. And I walk out of there with like almost 100,000 gold.
That was actual gambling.
I mean, worst case scenario, I lose 5,000 gold.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, who gives? I can get that back by killing chickens for 10 minutes.
Yeah, so like, the way that works, there's either like a, hey, you want to do a trust game, or, you know, you have to do this to enter the clan, which is, you know, just to clan. That, or, you know, doubling money, like, as I found a glitch. But, like, they would, you go back and forth certain amounts of money, and if you got the guy to think that you're going to give him more money, if he looks trustworthy, like, wow, I just gave you 100,000 gold and you didn't ditch. I guess we're going 500,000 now. See you later, nerd. You got counter scammed.
It's so great. Another scam that I would have fallen for this. It's just like the trimming armor. There was like granite mauls, which is a weapon that you got by, it was a member's weapon. It looked really, really cool. It was unique. It was like a strength weapon. It was just a big fucking chunk of granite on a stick. And you smash people with it. And you got it from killing gargoyles. But I didn't know you got it from getting gargoyles until probably 2 hours ago. I thought you got it from using granite, which is like a high level crafting resource. And some people would be like, hey, I want to buy your granite maul because I left mine. You know, I want to get your granite maul. Here's a bunch of like, because there would be different sizes of granite that people could have. They'd be like 5K, 2K, like 10K or something. I don't know. It was really, really heavy stones. You used it for some quest or something. And they'd tell them, hey, yeah, you can make one. Here, I'll give you this and the 500 gold you need to buy a wizard staff, because you just take the granite, the wizard staff, and you can craft it together. If you give me your granite maul. And then, ooh, that sounds great. And they give you a ton of it so you can make a whole bunch of these granite mauls, and you give them your granite maul that you get from a drop. And then, oh, wait, that thing was worth like 500,000 gold.
Oh, God.
And now you've got a bunch of rocks and money to buy some sticks. Oh, but by far, the most fun thing to do in RuneScape was luring nerds into the wilderness.
This is what makes you a bad person.
I agree. So the wilderness was the entire top section of the free-to-play area. There was a big ditch that you had to hop over, and you're in the wilderness.
That didn't exist for most of the game.
What?
Yeah, like when we played back in school, you just walk into the wilderness, and it begins right there.
What?
And the farther I believe the farther out you went, the more dangerous it got, was always a thing.
Wow. Okay, so the wilderness was the PvP area of RuneScape. Originally, I believe there were entire PvP worlds.
Yeah, there were.
They might still be around. But PvP in RuneScape, you beat the fuck out of each other till one of you dies and drops the majority of your good shit. Then they kind of limited it to the wilderness, and people wanted to do the fun quests. Because all the quests in RuneScape, just a quick aside, are unique in that they know that their combat's not very good. So it's not usually go kill X thing, bring X stuff back. It's usually like, hey, here's some story stuff. Go look at this unique place and do some puzzles. You know, do some puzzles or go all around the world, talk to people, get a whole bunch of quests in your log, and then come back here, do shit like that.
We can talk about the quests with Ibin later, because those are some pretty cool. I only got through like the first couple of them, but those are really cool.
Yeah, but let's get back to the wilderness. Yeah. So the wilderness, say that you were level 50 and you wanted to fucking destroy this level 3 noob because it's just fun to you. You get a sadistic streak. So what you would do is you would lure them out and be like, hey man, I'm doing a drop party, which was a thing where people would just have a bunch of really cool items and they would just drop them on the ground in various places and set people on them like rabid fucking dogs. And you'd go crazy and try to pick them all up. And then you would lure people out there until, because as you went deeper into the wilderness, when you were right at the entrance, you know, anyone who's like, I think within 3 levels of you, you can fight.
Well, it and starts then, at level 1. It goes up to, I think, level 50.
Yeah, like, the and then, was. Yeah, and then as you're deeper into the wilderness, you know, there's cool stuff on the ground, but like, there's always a chance that someone's going to come by and try to fuck you up, you know, and then kill you and take all your stuff. And you would just lure people out there and kill them. Or like, and I saw this all the time, where people would just be hanging out at the edge of the wilderness. There'd be some dude who just walks out there, drops 1,000,000 gold, and just waits. He just sits there and waits. Waits for one of them to make one dude with his bald head, his little goatee, he's got his tan shirt and his green pants, tries to sprint out there, grabs the gold, tries to run back. Ice barrage.
Magic.
Boom. Just, falls down on the ground. Guy goes over, picks up his gold, puts it right back where it was and waits.
I've never seen that. I've seen people people hanging out near the edge of the wilderness and like following people out there. Like you just walked into a bad part of town. This guy's gonna, he follows you out there. As soon as he can kill you, he hits you with a snare and he just fucking murders you.
And like if you're a younger kid, you don't understand how the wilderness really works. Like you don't understand like, okay, it has like the level whatever things up there. I don't really understand, like, the difference. Is it talking about, like, the difference between, because you can't see your own level. You have to, like, go into your stats and look at, like, a weird slight, like, is it in, like, the bottom? Because when I looked at it, I assumed it was my sword. Oh, my sword is level 24. but my combat level was actually like level 35 or something. And so I go in there and all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, shit, why is this guy attacking me already? It was kind of confusing. But there was a lot of stuff, you know, people would lure people into the wilderness. There was a members thing, which I thought this was funny as shit. So in a town that's, it's called West, you know, the west side of Ardug, I really don't know how to pronounce it, Ardragna. There was a lever that you could pull. You could convince someone to pull this lever, like, oh, you know, it's going to do a thing. And then, boop, teleports them deep into the wilderness.
Yeah, I've got a story about this one, actually. So I was hanging out with this dude. I assumed it was a dude. A lot of people use female characters. I assume everyone on the internet's a guy. But we hung out for like a week, and he seemed pretty cool. You know, he's like, oh, hey, you want to come help me out with this a mage thing? It's a mage specific thing in the very back end of the wilderness. You want to come help me out with this? Yeah, sure. Let me grab my magic stuff. So I grab it. It was clay armor, which you get from a mini game, which you can't play anymore because everyone's an asshole. It's just two ancient mages spamming ice barrage at the other team. It's not fun at all. But before that, I played it, got some really cool armor, had a whole bunch of runes. We go out there. We go to do it. He's like, oh, by the way, pop. Hits me with the ice barrage, ice barrage, ice barrage. You know what I dropped? I dropped a couple hundred thousand golds worth of stuff, which was basically nothing. It was just like a full complement of runes and a nice staff. He ended up giving me back like my dagger and staff because the dagger was had sentimental value to me. You're just an asshole. But yeah, that was a really fun lever, let me tell you.
Let's see. Another thing you could do, just... In the wilderness, there was also, eventually they added Clan Wars. That wasn't where Clan Wars was. It was Fist of Guthix.
Yeah, they added a bunch of mini games in the wilderness.
Yeah, there's a bunch of mini
games. When they took away the wilderness, they put it back in later on, but like they did like no more wilderness. Instead, here are some mini games you can play.
Yeah. And then RuneScape does that a lot where they'll take something out and flip it back because people don't like it. And they keep bouncing back and forth, back and forth. Like eventually they added old school RuneScape. But I mean, we'll get to that. Just a few more examples of shit that people would do.
Tell me about the black hole scam.
We're getting to it. So there was Wine of Zamorak, which this one I fell for two times. I fell for it more than once. So Zamorak is like the chaos. He's a quote unquote evil god. And in one of the free to play areas, you'll see like a church for him. And sitting in that church is a big old thing of Zamorak wine, which is a good healing item. And people are like, hey, go get that wine. It's like, okay, yeah, sure, why not? Then they go in there, then they close the door, because you have to manually open doors for a lot of buildings to go out. And so as soon as someone picks up that wine, Zamorak strikes you with a lightning bolt, and all the monks in there are now hostile, and they're like levels like 29, and they beat the fuck out of you, you drop all of your items. And I fell for that twice. I didn't learn after the first time. I thought it was just a weird coincidence. I don't know what I was thinking. I really wanted that wine. So there was the Wine of Zamorak. Just shit like that. There's no way I can cover every one of them. There was constant scams. There was gem cutting, armor trimming, doubling money, tanning leather. Just a lot of trust stuff like that. Like, yeah, I'll, you know, like, yeah, here, give me money and I'll, you know, give me all your gems and I'll cut them and give them right back to you. Although I actually did that for people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too.
Because you, like, for crafting, which is really useful for a lot of quests, you'd take your gem, tink, 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 and then you'd have a cut gem and you'd give it back. Usually the uncut ones are worth more because people would take them and then cut them all up. Because
you can only turn the cut ones into jewelry, which you can enchant and sell. But yeah, really, it was just like, hey, I need cut gems, but I can't cut diamond. Oh, hey, I can cut that. And the best way to do that, of course, would be, I'll give you a cut diamond, give me your uncut diamond. But that doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah. I think eventually they added an assist thing. We're like, hey, I need to mine some mithril ore. And then you have your friend who's got like 70 smithing. He's like, yeah, sure, I'll assist you. And then I think he gets half the XP.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. But, so, my favorite thing in all of my research I've done on these RuneScape scams is the black hole scam. So, at some point early on in RuneScape, when a player got banned, they kind of did like an in-game thing. And that character would be sent to a black hole. And there'd be like a single dwarf there who would just be like, hey, you're banned, buddy. And then, you know, you could talk to him and be like, well, what am I doing here? Oh, you got banned because you violated the terms of service. Well, when am I going to get out of here? Well, it really depends, you know, and then... The that was it. You just be in a black hole. There'd be kind of a sparkly thing on the floor. and then you were in there until your ban was over, and then you would get teleported out and you can go back to the normal world. So because they added this new area, a bunch of people kept trying to get banned so they could check it out. And so Jagex was like, okay, guys, stop. Here. Here's this item that you can use to go check out the black hole. And it's a complete, it's a duplicate, you're not going to see the players in there, but it's a complete, it's a replica. You
can go check it out. Personal banning space.
Yeah, you can go check it out. It's a fun little thing. And then, so what happens is people go down there, and then people would convince them, you go down there with your friends, quote unquote friends, they're like, hey, you should drop that item and then log out, and log back in and see what'll happen. If you do that, the item disappears and you are stuck in the black hole forever until a Jagex mod kicks you back out.
That's pretty great.
The dude who convinces you gets absolutely nothing except the satisfaction that your account is now complete, like, fucked. It is fucked. You are stuck in here for months until Jagex can manually get you out.
That's great.
It is so good. And, like, there would be banned players who would get banned for doing this, and then just have, like, a network of fucking spies and shit to get people to do this. They would go out and, like, hey, all right, my friend over here, because you could still message people while you were banned. So even if they banned your account, you're still able to keep convincing people to do this and get
literally
fucked.
Controlling your gang from within prison.
It was so good. So great. Holy shit. I love that. That is my favorite thing.
Side note, that black hole ring is a very valuable item once it is discontinued. Same thing with, so you used to be able to drink half jugs of wine. You drink half a jug of wine, and then later on you could drink the other half, so you'd have a half jug in between.
I could be a RuneScape millionaire right now.
Yeah, but if everyone knew it was going to happen, no one would care about it, because we'd all just have tons of half jugs of wine. No point in having them. They're less useful than a regular jug of wine, which costs literally nothing. It's just grapes and a jug of water. But half jugs of wine are incredibly expensive. Because you can't get them anymore.
They're multi-million.
Yeah. I don't know why. No one knows why. Like, even party hats. There are party hats from an old Christmas event. They're just, like, really shitty-looking crowns of, like, different solid colors. Worth fucking millions. Because you can't get them anymore. At least those you can show off. You put them on your head. Half jugs of wine, you put them in your bank. They just sit there in your bank. You're not going to drink them. They're worth millions. You're not going to drink that. But, I guess that happens in real life, too.
Oh, one more thing that I almost forgot to mention was the Falador Massacre. There was this dude. So, what he did was he was fighting a boss. And something that boss could do would stick with you when you left the area. And then what that would do is you could cause other players to enter a PvP state. By dealing damage to you, or dealing damage to another player, or marking the flag for it.
I'm raising my hand because I have a question, Ted. What the fuck? What are you on right now?
Don't you remember? All right, hold on.
So what happened was construction came out.
And oh, you know what? I was getting it mixed up with
the World of Warcraft episode.
That was it. That's right. Because it was pretty much the same thing.
My turn now. So
I'll sit down.
What happened was construction came out. You can go through a portal, you have your own house, and you can build different rooms and different stuff in there, and there's a whole big thing. It's just a huge money sink because the gold was becoming useless, like worthless, because of the amount that we had of it. So you go there, one of the rooms is like a game room or a combat room. You build a rink, and then different kinds of rinks, boxing rinks, unequip all your stuff. Combat rinks, you can just hit someone with a fucking granite maul for fun. It's not lethal damage after all. But then I think if you got kicked or the owner logged out or something, there's a certain way if you left the house, you'd stay in that PvP state out in the PvE area. And so a bunch of people found this out. The one player gained notoriety for it, but a lot of people found this out and ran through Falador murdering people in a non-PvP place where you're completely safe unless you're like level 15 in attack guard. You're completely safe. No one's like hiding their money. Everyone's got all their fancy stuff. They have their party hats on. You just run through the fucking town and murder them. There's literally nothing they could do.
And then, of course, every player, when they see someone die, flocks to those bones to grab everything. You have more people coming in because they see people dying, getting smacked to the granite mall, and it just keeps repeating.
Yeah, and there was actually, like, Jagex obviously had no way of dealing with this. It wasn't like a contingency in the event that, like, PvPers escape into the PvE realm. So they had, like, Jagex mods and stuff running through Falador saying, hey guys, everyone log out now. Bad things are happening. Like, we need to get out of here. and like evacuating the town. It was a whole big thing, and it really sucked for a lot of people because you can't give them their stuff back. You can't go, oh, you had a blue party hat and 20 million. I guess I'll just give that back to you, because everyone can say that.
And it was actually like something that stuck in the minds of so many players that actually became like an official emote you can have. And it will have like the one character that gained notoriety for its it will have his model, and it's like the old model too. So it's all blocky and shitty looking. That's and he'll, like, go up there, and your character will, like, cower down before him, and, like, right before he smacks you, like, the emote will end. And it's just called the Falador Massacre. It's pretty great.
Pretty great's one way to put it.
I think that's a really fun way of, I guess, like, archiving, you know, acknowledging this really unique thing that happened in your game. It sucked at the time, yeah, but, like, that's something people are going to remember.
You know, a long time ago, we were talking about the shortcuts. So you'd unlock quests, you'd have all these shortcuts. That's how you got around. Or if you were a mage, you would just teleport, I guess. Much later on, they decided, we don't like this. That's not fun. A lot of new people are getting lost, I think, is the complaint that they were addressing. So they made a Lumbridge homeport, which you sit down, it's like a 30-second thing. If you get attacked, you get interrupted, so you can't use it to escape like you can teleports. But it's 30 seconds, and you can teleport back to, you know, spawn, which you could do every, like, 30 minutes or hour or something.
Oh, something like that. You couldn't do it constantly.
Yeah. And that was fine. I mean, I was okay with that. You add that to the list of shortcuts we have. I can teleport to, you know, Lumbridge, sail up or down the River Lum. That can kick off the whole shortcut thing. So, like, whatever. And then later, way later, after a lot of other stuff we're going to talk about here, they implemented home porting just globally. You could, whenever you want, teleport to any other town that you've discovered. And, again, it's stupid because, like, it's just you don't have to waste time walking back and forth. But it really felt like it really did take away a lot of the game. Just like, instead of it being a whole interconnected world, it was just different nodes. Like, you have, there is a big town, Barak. You can go from the node to wherever you want and teleport back to, like, Lumbridge. Go from that node to wherever you want, teleport back to Barak. There was no walking back and forth, planning out optimal routes, using shortcuts, anything like that.
That's what happened with WoW as well, where they had flight paths. You would get to an area, you would unlock the flight master. Well, time to fly from Ironholm to wherever the fuck. It's been a while since we did the WoW Lord episode. I don't remember the titles.
I've literally never played World of Warcraft.
But, like, that was a thing that a lot of people complained about in WoW, is that now I don't need to, you know, I'm never going to walk past Loch Modan anymore. Why would I do that when I could just fly? Or I could just get my flying mount and just go over everything, not have to look at the world just feels separated now because I teleport place to place.
Yeah, it's just different, like, isolated nodes of activity. Another thing that, like, doesn't affect anything but really pissed off a lot of people. Oh, I know. Let's multiply everyone's health and damage by 10. Not for any real reason. It's just instead of starting with 10 HP, you start with 100.
See, I will kind of defend this one. So before in RuneScape, you had very, very small damage values. If you hit someone for a 10, holy shit.
Yeah, like, max HP was 99. So 10 damage was a chunk of damage. Like, 30 damage was, like, you just fucked that guy up.
Like, did RuneScape have crits?
You had max damage.
Okay, because maybe there was probably some weapon that had a crit chance or something where it would have a chance to deal max damage in each hit or something like that. I don't know. Like an extra chance, like daggers or something.
I don't think so. I think daggers just attack. They attacked faster, so you had a higher chance of hitting max damage. It would be lower than an item that attacked slower. But no, yeah, you had a range of damage. So you rolled a hit. If you hit, you rolled to deal damage. That was all, of course, happening behind the scenes. But it would be, you know, between like a single digit number and like 30 was a high number. And now, you know, you're hitting them for 300. And now Tad's going to defend this by saying it allowed you to, more finely deal damage. You could hit someone instead of a 3 to a 4, from a 30 all the way through a 40 with all those digits in between. However, you could just change his hit range from, say, 2 was his minimum damage and 10 was his max. Well, if you wanted to up that damage slightly, just change that to 3 to 10. It's going to have the exact same effect overall as allowing you to roll in between those. And it's just because, I don't know, having those little numbers was just kind of a unique thing. I think a lot of other games that I see have you dealing with numbers in the hundreds and thousands.
Kind of like how Paper Mario, like, you compare the damage values of a Mario RPG to that of, like, Final Fantasy. At the end of Final Fantasy, you're hitting for several thousand. At the end of Paper Mario, you're hitting for 6. That's a huge amount of damage.
It was a neat thing. It was like, oh, we don't need huge numbers. Like, a 30 will eventually start to feel like a huge number. But then, like, let's just, for no real reason, let's not offer any justification for it, multiply everything by 10. And again, it's a small thing, but it pissed off a lot of people. I thought it was dumb, but I didn't care that much. But there were in-game riots held over this.
That's right. Riots were held in RuneScape by players going to an area and then just spamming emotes and text until the server crashed. Or chugged really hard. Yeah.
And, like, it might sound dumb, but, like, this kind of tipped a lot of people off. This is where the game's heading. Next stop, Evolution of Combat.
Ooh.
Now, I've skipped over the Grand Exchange, so we should double back.
I was about to say, the biggest flag was the Grand Exchange.
That wasn't a flag. That was a nail in the coffin.
So, before the Grand Exchange, like I stated before, you would go to Varrock, you would look around, okay, well, let's see, is anyone selling, okay, this dude's selling iron bars, I'll go ahead and buy a bunch from him, I'll follow him to the bank.
Not buying iron bars in Elkhard. Way to go, Ted, this is why you're poor.
I mean, yeah, that's true. The most amount of money I've ever had is right now, because I went to a drop party and got like 800,000 gold, so I mean, it's pretty easy to make money in RuneScape. I don't know why.
There was a mining guild and a furnace in Falador, which is a great place to buy ore or bars. And then the lower level place would be like Elkhard.
Yeah. But like, I would, if I wanted to buy a specific item and I didn't know like the hot spots for it, I would go to Varrock because that's where everyone was selling everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to Varrock, you know, if I need to pick up some iron, if I need to pick up some feathers, if I need to pick up some, if I wanted to buy a dragon scimitar, which I couldn't wield because I'm not a member, fuck you. Or if I wanted to buy, you know, some other bullshit, I would go to Varrock. And now at the Grand Exchange, they set a price for items.
Okay, so take it a step back now. So there was a big problem with real-world trading. They tried a whole lot of stuff to stop it. There was stuff like you could only trade, say, 3,000 gold up or down. So if I'm selling a tinderbox for 1K because some dude forgot his tinderbox and doesn't want to walk all the way back to get one. Okay, well, that's 1,000. It'll go down like every half hour, but I can only go up to 3,000 there.
That's right.
If I want to sell something for 5,000 over, well, I can sell it for 3,000 over, and then later he has to give me the extra 2,000 a couple hours later. That's not going to work. You'd have to like balance those two things out so you're trading the same amount as per the Grand Exchange value. And eventually they implemented the Grand Exchange. And so what you would do is you'd go there and you'd put things up for sale, you'd put in requests to buy. So like you said, you wanted iron and feathers. Instead of going to places where those would be sold or going to Varrock and like just looking around, you know, you just say, hey, buying these things. You go to a bank, go to the town square. You just go to the Grand Exchange. Say, I'm willing to buy these. And you can go like up or down 15% or some fixed percentage from the market price.
Yep.
Which would go up or down depending on whether people were selling high or low. And this allowed, you know, merchant clans to exist and heavily manipulate the market. I don't know a lot about how merchant clans work, but I've read enough to know that they were a massive detriment to, you know, open markets.
Essentially, they would just band people together. And this was a thing that actually happened on the Jagex official forums, where people would say, hey, everyone. And they would go on, like, the merchanting skill, because there was like different sections for stuff. They had merchanting as one of them. Like, hey, everyone, buy X item at this price. And then later, we'll jack the fucking price up, because there's not going to be enough people selling, you know, this item to undercut us at all. Anyone wants to buy it is going to be forced to pay 5,000 gold per instead of the 1,000 that we bought it at for at least a little while until, you know, more people come and start selling their uncut rubies or whatever.
Yeah, but allow them to say soak up all the excess in the market and then only sell them for higher prices.
Stuff like that. Actual, like, you know,
it also
there's laws against that in real life.
It also completely killed the free market because now you had fixed market value. You could only sell, say, this object for this amount of money. You couldn't go somewhere where it would be cheaper and buy it for cheaper. It couldn't fluctuate quite as freely. You know, if an update came out that, say, made rune essence, like people wanted rune essence because there's a new rune coming out, which I don't think ever happened in my lifetime. But if that would have happened, rune essence, you might see a spike in rune essence for a while until that calms back down. Not so now. It'd just be max market price, whatever that is.
Yeah, just like just a few weeks ago, TF2 had a new crate come out. And so I'm like, oh shit, I got this in a drop. Sold that for $2. Got a bunch of people. I'm like, yeah, I'll give you, you know, crates are worthless. I'll give you, tell you what, I'm feeling generous. Here's 6 weapons for that crate. Thank you. And $2. And then, you know, 3 days later, they're down to 3 cents a pop, you know, because the hype died down.
This is why you're a bad person.
Hey, I mean, that's true.
Yeah. So anyway, Grand Exchange happened. What was the thing I was going to talk about after that?
You're going to talk about the evolution of combat.
Right, yes. Okay, so, like I was talking about earlier, the only thing that was entertaining about RuneScape's combat was the preparation beforehand. Either it was just to grind, say, you're killing chickens for feathers. Feathers are always good money. Just go kill chickens, pick up feathers. That's a grind. Actual combat, like fighting a dragon or fighting a boss, something like that, that was all in the preparation beforehand. Getting, you know, stocking up on prayer potions, which allow you to do things like protect from magic, which would just protect you from all forms of magic damage in PvE. Protect from melee. You cannot be hurt by melee attacks with this prayer on. You just drink prayer potions to keep up on that. You know, food, getting the right armor together, if you're a mage, getting your runes together. All of that was the only interesting part of combat. You just click on them and then you fight them. And now we've got this system where you have, like, skills that you use. I don't know, it's weird. It feels like generic fantasy stuff. Like, I've got a skill that, you know, you hit them for 125% of damage, or, you know, after 1.5 seconds, you know, you stun them for 10 seconds. Stuff like that. It's just like a list of, like, just skills, and you hit the buttons while you're in combat. And it means you have to pay attention to, like, your skills as well as, you know, your inventory and your food and stuff. I don't know a lot about other fantasy games. I don't know if this is par for the course in them, but it feels like it. Like, I've played Guild Wars.
Mm-hmm. It feels like another MMO game. It doesn't feel like RuneScape.
Yeah, for better or worse, RuneScape had a very unique feel to it. It was something that you didn't see in other places. And like I said, whether that was inherently good or bad, it added to the game just because it was different. It wasn't something that you can get anywhere else. And as they've made all these updates, they've kind of moved towards you know, massive, like one of the, like a lot of the other games. And it really does detract from the overall, like, charm of RuneScape.
Yeah, because RuneScape's whole... And there's been a lot of shit we've talked about RuneScape, but I think it's fun. I don't have the time to grind anymore with it.
Yeah, like, I'm never going to play it again.
Yeah. Jagex, like, at some point, I want to say in 2014, 2013, they made old school RuneScape, which is a separate version of RuneScape from the current one. That's 2007. It's took the game back and put it here. Does it still have the Grand Exchange?
I think, I don't remember. I don't know.
I think it's pre-Grand Exchange.
I think a lot of people who quit when RuneScape went to shit didn't even, like, don't even know about that, just because there's no reason they would know about it. They gave up on RuneScape.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has a ridiculous amount of players for being, it was like the earliest version of the game that I had archived. Mm-hmm. And then they just have, like, community votes. Like, hey, here's a new feature. Do you guys want this? And if enough people say no, they just won't implement it. But, yeah, I think we can point to that as proof that their game is no longer what it was. And that's what takes it beyond just a nostalgic, like, the game sucks now because I'm older and it's different, to the game sucks now because I took out a lot of the fun things in it, and look at these numbers we have as proof.
But I think overall, RuneScape was a really fun game. It had a surprising amount of music. Like, every single quest, there was tons and tons and tons of quests. There was, like, at least 200, and they were all pretty damn unique. And then each one of those had, like, three pieces of music to go alongside it. They would always unlock stuff in the overworld. You know, there was a whole bunch of story things. There was a quest where it was, like, Romeo and Juliet, where you had to find an actual other player who just through chance aligned with the other guild, I believe. I think it was you chose a side, and then you just had to find manually a person on the other side and work together with them to do the quest. Whatever the quest was, Tim. I don't remember. It was a thing.
It was a free player quest. You can't be wrong about it.
I didn't do all the free to player quests. I ended right before I killed the dragon one.
I believe it was the Shield of Arv.
Shield of Arv, yeah. Yeah, you had to find someone who was another actual player who was aligned with the other side, and you had to work together, and it was tons of fun. There was stuff like the desert where... That's where I spent the majority of my time when I became a member. I went to the desert because I thought it was the coolest shit. You had to, like, drink out of your canteen, dress specifically, and then I went and I hunted lizards and stabbed them with sticks. That's what I did. And then I farmed coal for, like, literally 48 hours straight.
I'm so sorry.
I appreciate that they let you play the game in minimal graphic settings. That makes it look... Because there was a big graphical update in, like, 2010 or something. That made the game not look like shit. And I played the game... When I played it earlier, I played it on minimal, which made the game look like it did in 2007, where there was like single color textures across everything. It looks like all sharp triangles and made out of like Crayola models and shit.
Yeah, I mean, just it was an old game and it was just very technically limited by, I don't know if it was just what the team knew to do or the technology when it was first created.
It was made fucking Java.
Yeah, it's not a very nice looking game. It has, you know, some serious latency issues. Shit draw distance, and yeah, like you said, that you could see the individual tiles on the ground and it's all just like one smooth gradient of color. They've made it look so much nicer now, but you could just hop back over to minimal, get that old school RuneScape look. They're a great development company. From what I've seen, they're really good at having this game. A lot of the stuff that people didn't like was an attempt to combat people spamming bots and making money in real life, which is a serious problem. Like, I get why they did it, and I'm not mad at them for fucking destroying their game. I'm mad at people that don't bot. If you're out there and you're listening to this and you think, oh, I know, I'll make 24 bots and make some money in real life, like, consider not doing that.
Consider getting a job. You people are the reason I have Dota 2 items that weren't tradable until 5 years after I got them. Because you fuckers kept messing with the Steam marketplace, putting up your goddamn fake games and making your money off your fucking cards and your emotes. They're the reason why when I want to sell my stupid hats, I have to put it in here, I have to log into I have to log in Steam, I have to put in 6 goddamn passwords.
You know, Ted, RuneScape had some nice hats too.
Yeah, it did.